Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yeah, come back.
You either go to church.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, January 30th, 2023. And I have a bit of a dire message on my heart and mind. It's all about the choices that we make. And do we buy into the nonsense, or do we choose to think for ourselves? But that is incredibly difficult. It has become increasingly difficult over the generations. And, you know, speaking of the cybernetic, technocratic bunch who would presume themselves our betters and want to control us, manage us, you know, whether we live or die, they think that they are the masters of the destiny of the masses, so to speak. Bertrand Russell wrote The Impact of Science on Society, published in 1952. And in Chapter 2, General Effects of Scientific Technique, he wrote that, and this is more than, you know, when we think of science, this is scientism. This is not science as most people think about it. It's the scientific management of people and the religion of scientism, basically, that you will go along. It's kind of, you know, it's very much a something to supplant Christianity, for example. Christianity is an anachronistic belief that's just superstitious. This is much more, you know, look what we do. We can, you know, God says he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, the wicked as well as the righteous. But look, we can make it rain now, and we can do all of these things. So there's that old joke, you know, the scientists come to God and say, look, we can do everything you've done. We can create all these things. All we need is just a little dirt. And God says, wait, get your own dirt. So the scientific management of everything is very much intended to be a counterfeit of Christianity. And there's much more to say about that. Again, you know, in simplest terms, it is the Kabbalistic and Gnostic impulse, two sides of the same coin, that you read about in places like 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for example. The Jews seek signs or symbols, and the Greeks seek wisdom. And that's what Kabbalism and Gnosticism sort of represent, the theosophical contingent, the divine wisdom, so to speak. What can we divine or ascertain from the world and observation without God, apart from God? How can we divine the secrets of the universe, so to speak, but without God's help, without his involvement or influence? That's what they're trying to do. So Bertrand Russell wrote, speaking of this scientism and the cybernetic technocratic contingent, the populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. And this gets back into, you know, backing up. It's actually, he's speaking of mass psychology. And how he said mass psychology is, scientifically speaking, not a very advanced study, but he thought it would be the subject which would be of most importance politically. Mass psychology. And so you think of Edward Bernays telling us, I began the thought the other day, didn't finish it. Edward Bernays, Propaganda, 1928, John in Tennessee used to remind us that it was chapter 4, The Psychology of Public Relations, speaking of this mass psychology that Bernays wrote. And, you have him drawing on guys like Mr. Crowd Psychology himself, Gustave Le Bon, author of The Crowd, A Study of the Popular Mind. Edward Bernays wrote in Chapter 4 of Propaganda, The Psychology of Public Relations, the systematic study of mass psychology revealed to students the potentialities of invisible government of society by the manipulation of the motives which actuate man in the group. Trotter and Le Bon, who approached the subject in a scientific manner, and Graham Wallace, Walter Lippmann, and others who continued with searching studies of the group mind, established that the group has mental characteristics distinct from those of the individual and is motivated by impulses and emotions which cannot be explained on the basis of what we know of individual psychology. But here's the punchline. So the question naturally arose, I guess, if you're a psychopath, if you're a megalomaniacal Bond arch supervillain, the question naturally arises. So the question naturally arose, if we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it? That's how these people think. And again, if you go back and you realize that was 1928, that was almost 100 years ago, 95 years ago now. And he's drawing on the work of folks like Trotter and Le Bon, Wallace, Walter Lippmann, etc. Gustave Le Bon's Psychologie des Foules, The Crowd, A Study of the Popular Mind, was published in 1895. And throughout the 19th century, these guys had all but worked out how this crowd psychology works. So if you go back and you watch, I forget what the title of it is, but Aaron and Melissa Dykes did a video, True Stream Media video, I presume it's still on YouTube, about the conspiracy to control the world before the turn of the 20th century. Before the United Nations, before the League of Nations, there was this other thing. You know, these guys. And so I suppose, you know, maybe we could insert a bit of encouragement here, perhaps. It's, you know, largely based on our own choices. Do we choose to think for ourselves, which has profound and far-reaching implications? You know, in... just to give you an idea, perhaps, of what I mean by profound implications, the things that are happening, the changes that are being foisted upon people, the American people in particular, and the world by, you know, in turn, I've talked about, you know, since we came out of the 2008 subprime so-called contagion and, you know, we had folks like Joan Vian telling us what was going on. I've mentioned how, and there have been times when I mentioned specific examples where what is dictated through the financial cabal. You know, the Group of 30 in particular, you know, dictated to the G8, to the G20, and so on. It sort of trickles down onto the rest of the countries, you know, because you're part of this credit monopoly. If you want to play, then here's what you have to do. These things are not by accident or coincidence. Things are... many things are expected, and we see that in the gaming, don't we? The scenario planning, the war gaming, that certain things are anticipated. You know that, what is the name of that? Do you like you forgetting the, speaking of scenario planning and COVID, let's see if I can remember real quick. Will my browser cooperate? The multitasking, bad for radio. Actually, I think I know where I might find it. Do I see it? I do not see it. Johns Hopkins, maybe. Yeah, the SPARS pandemic scenario. The SPARS, that's what they called it. SPARS pandemic, a futuristic scenario for public health, et cetera, et cetera. You read that and you see that's over Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, 2017 publication. October 23rd, 2017. That's funny. That was 2 years before Event 201, almost to the date. And you can still download it. And so in that, speaking of the fallout and collateral damage, let's see if I can recall where that is. What was it, chapter 17? Yeah, vaccine injury, for example. Recovery, vaccine injury. So I've mentioned this before, but in this document, this scenario planning document, for example, chapter 17 is titled Vaccine Injury. And so, you know, the repercussions of forcing things on people, both, you know, the intended and unintended so-called consequences are foreseen. It's astonishing. And you know, it's incredible to see what is written. And do we go along with this stuff? This is the hypnotic, you know, trying to form the future. Will we go along with this nonsense, or will we think for ourselves? So just an excerpt from chapter 14 of this document, page 49 and 50. Japan's refusal to accept, this is the document titled The Sparse Pandemic, a Futuristic Scenario for Public Health Risk Communicators, published October 23rd, 2017, 2 years before Event 201, from the same folks that the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security was the, what do you say, coordinator, I think, of Event 201. And, you know, this is obviously not the first, not the last. This has been done many times, as folks like Whitney Webb have detailed, since, you know, particularly in the post-9/11 era. Why? To find an invisible boogeyman, to terrify people into surrendering everything. A little freedom, a little safety, a little security, and guess what? In the end, we have nothing but tyranny and slavery. Japan's refusal to accept Corovax is what they called it in this deal. You know, and you go back and, you know, the overlap is striking. Anyway, CoroVax was widely covered in the international media. The decision was particularly controversial because of widespread SPARS transmission across Japan. The fact that the Japanese government was willing to wait 6 or more months for another vaccine to be developed was also especially concerning to U.S. public. Compounding this concern was the general lack of a response to the Japanese decision from the U.S. government, although HHS Secretary Nagel released a short statement reiterating the safety of CoroVax. The CDC, FDA, and other government agencies did not respond at all, a reflection of a longstanding tradition of not commenting on other countries' internal public health decisions. From the public's viewpoint, however, the lack of response from trusted government agencies only exacerbated vaccine fears. This is the kind of stuff that has been scenario planned and gamed by these folks. It's not about the health of the general population so much as it is about the propagandizing of folks. Astonishing. Anyway, I want to play this other clip. We have time to squeeze just about all of it in, I think. Davos 2023, breaking down the cost of attendance before we get too far along. Can we do that, please?
All right, welcome back to What Just Happened. I'm Dave Briggs. I want you to close your eyes and picture Davos. Now, what comes to mind? For most, it's billionaires, CEOs, and world leaders hobnobbing in the Alps, but not for me. It's the $43 hot dog or Caesar salad, just short of $60. If the elevation doesn't take your breath away, the cost of attending WEF will. As Amex says, membership has its privileges, and before you can buy a ticket for $19,000, you must be a member of the Economic Forum, which costs a mere $52,000. And remember, that's only if you're invited. So now you're out $71,000 before you even slip into your $1,000 Canada Goose jacket. If you're going to fly 4,000 miles, you got to go the extra mile to attend private sessions with your peers. And that privilege requires industry associate status, another $137,000 for the week. So unless you're riding solo like Jason Derulo, you want a wingman or woman, which WEF calls industry partner. With the add-on, we're now over $250,000. What about a crew of, say, 5? Strategic partner status sets you back more than $500,000, and we still haven't had a cold drink. Just getting into a party? $200,000 ahead. A hotel, and we're not talking about a real palace here, $500 a night bare minimum, and most VIPs would not dare stay at a Hyman-like hotel. WEF VIPs prefer a private chalet, and for that, $140,000 for the week. Of course, there ain't no subway in Davos, and don't dare ask CEOs to walk. A chauffeur-driven Mercedes for the week, actually a bargain at $10,000. The mode of transport, though, that truly defines Davos, however, is the private jet. Oh, it's a nice one. More than 1,000 of those flew into the environmentally focused conference this week. And if you don't own your own jet, NetJets sets you back $70,000 round trip. But despite these eye-popping numbers, what you're hearing from execs from all industries is, well, they're packing in 6 months to a year worth of face-to-face meetings in one trip and will happily fork over the cash this time next year, Rochelle.
I mean, it's just mind-boggling. It's never in a million years or $1 million am I paying that much money, for sure. Now, Dave, we know that Microsoft is coming under fire for hosting a Sting concert in Davos. What's the latest there?
Yeah, Satya Nadella really came under a lot of heat for that private Sting performance in front of just 50 people, with the Columbia professor and author Rita McGrath saying, I'm a big fan of Satya Nadella, but this is seriously bad executive symbolism. And
what?
While on the surface, I agree, I'm a bit of an expert
in being laid off. Counterintuitive when it comes to the message of an oath of poverty and minimal consumption? Stick around, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a
So, to finish the thought on these things, you know, the reaction to these things that have been planned for a long time, the reaction to which is also, you know, you go back to those guys, the, you know, Bucky Fullers of the 50s and 60s, the Buckminster Fullers and the Futurists, you know, they were technocrats, obviously. And cyberneticians. But now, you know, those were grand dreams. When we saw the Jetsons, the cartoon that sort of downplayed the concerns that we're really starting to bump into now of these futurists trying to plan all of our lives for us, better than we can plan them ourselves, to borrow from Reagan and his speechwriter. The reactions were all anticipated. And that's why in Kurzweil's timeline in The Age of Spiritual Machines, he mentions the rise of neo-Luddites with these changes that are horrifying as part of the reactionary movement. And Luddite, you know, the Luddite contingent and concept is mentioned throughout about 50 times in Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines, by the way. So, you know, that's anticipated. And, you know, maybe more on that in a bit. But will we believe the hypnotic trance? CBS News just did a piece a couple of weeks ago, January 17, World Economic Forum warns of global polycrisis. That's funny. That word that suddenly is a word we're all supposed to be concerned with, you know, polycrisis over the in the next decade. Ridiculous. Anyway, maybe a bit of a little bit more encouragement from Dave Rubin. The video title, Watch John Kerry's Face When His Climate Hypocrisy Is Exposed on Camera. Actually, you know what? We need to wait because we don't have enough time to really play this, the whole thing in this segment. So we'll wait on that. My fault. But, you know, it's interesting to see the hypocrisy here. And, you know, these people who spend $500,000 to go hang out for a week and plan the lives of, you know, everyone on Earth. Don't worry, we'll plan them for you. Spending $500,000 to go hang out for a week while they, and, you know, preaching we should all have a minimal carbon footprint, which is ridiculous. 20 tons of CO2, according to Bill Gates, you know, Americans. And where is that number, from where is it derived exactly? So these folks fly private, as we heard, largely massive carbon footprint. You know, one trip on a private jet, I guess round trip, is worth 1 year's worth of carbon footprint for the rest of us on average. But we're supposed to do what they say, not what they do. As they preach an oath of poverty and minimal consumption, but go spend $500,000 to hang out for a week. Can you imagine? Many, many, many articles have been written in the past about 30 years on the fact that there are some people who could write a check and just about end world poverty overnight. You know, if the Gates Foundation is so concerned with poverty, why not write a check? Isn't it interesting that the Gates Foundation has more money now than it did when it began? Well, that's just because guys like Warren Buffett, you know, the ice cream licker from Boys Town, that's not the only reason. The Gates Foundation has an investment arm that invests, by the way, in a lot of the things that Bill Gates speaks out against. And that's been a point of controversy over the years, too, that we keep seeming to forget, that just kind of goes down the memory hole from time to time. So, one of the things that I want to get to this week, I'll finish that thought on the other side of this break. Stick around. More right after this break.
Truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com.
Stickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com.
Welcome back. To finish the thought before we go to the clip of John Kerry, who flies commercial exclusively, obviously, because he cares. I talked around it last week a little bit. I want to dive down the ESG rabbit hole a little bit. And, you know, there are the social engineering concerns, for sure. But I think one of the bigger concerns that flies under the radar is the transfer of wealth. What's happening is you have you have international financial institutions like BlackRock, for example, that control or, you know, manage, but control a large volume of currency and liquidity, shall we say, generally speaking, in financial markets. And what is happening is the sort of the American aspect or contingent is being divested, we are being encouraged to, you know, divest. We're hearing that, you know, divestment from these polluting companies is a huge concern. But at the same time, these financial houses are overseeing the reinvestment or the transfer of that wealth into offshore companies. Chinese, for example, in particular. And that does interesting things. And again, you go back into like the 90s and the early 2000s and you start reading the Global Trends reports. How did they know this group of, you know, government and financial technocratic experts that the future would include a certain amount of parity, you know, the rise of Chinese and Indian and Russian primacy, and that there would be a certain amount of how did they know? Maybe because they were planning these shifts and the rise of certain organizations like the World Trade Organization, plotting those things before they had actually really come on the scene. So the ESG nonsense is definitely a concern. And like Vivek Ramaswamy has pointed out, I'm no Harvard grad, I'm no Yale-y, but I agree that his point is well observed, that the E is kind of the mechanism to implement the S, and certainly the G. Without the E, you don't have the G. It's a way to lead people by the nose. And we have a generation of kids who think this way. It's really, I mean, if you're like me, you see and you hear this and you think, my God, this is religious fanaticism these kids have been indoctrinated with, and they don't know. Again, getting back to Bertrand Russell and the impact of science on society, the populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. Ask these young people to give you, and I mean this genuinely, not as a condescending swipe at all, but genuinely, where did you get this information? How do you know these things are true? Where is the scientific basis for this, and how do you know that that is independent, objective fact-finding that you're drawing from and not some kind of propagandized agenda, which has happened in the past? You know, again, big high-profile examples include Professor Henry Lai over at University of Washington, who was he and a colleague were employed by Motorola to do a study on the health effects of the wireless signals, the non-ionizing radiation emitted by cell phones. And he and his colleague came to the conclusion that, yes, Virginia, there is harm from these, you know, from the non-ionizing radiation emitted by these devices. And Motorola kept saying, why don't you check again, check again, check again? And finally, they figured out what was going on. You're supposed to find what we paid you to find, which is nothing. And so Henry Lai and his colleague started diving into peer-reviewed studies on, you know, related studies. And they discovered, you know, at first glance, it seemed split 50-50. The studies, you know, study results seemed to indicate that it's 50-50. You know, are these things caused by, are the health effects caused by this or that? And, but then upon closer review, they realized that it depends on whether the study was independent or industry funded. And when, you know, the results are inversely proportionate, usually if memory serves, it's about 70%, you know, when the study is independent, 70% of the time the findings lean one way. Typically, obviously, adverse to industry. And then conversely, when the studies are industry funded, about 70% of the time they favor industry. Imagine that. Show me where a man gets his corn pone and I'll tell you what his opinions is. So that's a big one. And there is also, again, the story that's cliche at this point of the medical journals, for example, the most highly respected medical journals, several of the editors-in-chief have resigned in disgust, saying these journals are essentially call it a brothel metaphorically. It's a place to prostitute these big pharma ghostwritten pieces for products, and oftentimes highly respected medical folks are lured in to put their name on these ghostwritten pieces and even go on speaking tours. Hey, you know what? We'll pay you whatever. You've worked really hard. Let us pay you to put your name on this. These things happen. And so, you know, to the young people, I would ask, how do you know that is not the case with all that you're believing? Especially if you go back and read the Club of Rome's working paper back in the 70s, The Limits to Growth, and then the book that was the follow-on, published in 1991, The First Global Revolution, that says that climate change and global warming and all of that nonsense is the new boogeyman, and man is the ultimate enemy, and we have to unite man against himself, essentially. That's the conclusion that the Club of Rome came to, and if you read The First Global Revolution, The Limits to Growth, and The First Global Revolution, you will see for yourself this is what they're advocating. Lest I be accused of oversimplifying and paraphrasing, from the First Global Revolution excerpts. Ready? It would seem that men and women need a common motivation, namely a common adversary, to organize and act together. In the vacuum, such motivations seem to have ceased to exist, or have yet to be found. The need for enemies seemed to be a common historical factor. Again, this is something echoed by many folks into antiquity. You know, the cliche from history, the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of nonsense, the Sun Tzu kind of stuff, the Machiavellian kind of stuff, all the way forward to Hayek in The Road to Serfdom telling us the same thing coming out of World War II. You know, why the worst get on top? Why is it the worst get on top? Well, point number two in his 3 points, the second negative principle, he's able to obtain the support of all the docile and gullible who have no strong convictions of their own but are prepared to accept a ready-made system of values. There's the more common and primitive tastes prevail is point number one. These people who don't have strong convictions of their own is point number two. And then point number three, in particular here, he writes that the deliberate effort of the skillful demagogue to weld together a closely coherent and homogeneous body of supporters, the negative, the third and perhaps most important negative element of selection enters. He says, it seems to be almost a law of human nature that it is easier for people to agree on a negative program, on the hatred of an enemy. You know, Greta Thunberg, how dare you? You know, that kind of thing. Than on a positive task. Contrast between the we and the they, the common fight against those outside the group, seems to be an essential ingredient in any creed, which will solidly knit together a group for common action. And then from there, of course, it's a short trip to eliminationism, obviously. Because, you know, of the otherizing of people. Anyway, to finish the quote from the first global revolution, the first global revolution. And again, you know, same conversations. You have Huntington, The Clash of Civilizations, around this time when the book is published, 1991. And from there, you know, Fukuyama and the discussion continuing on, who was a student of Huntington. And, you know, we end up with Fukuyama's The End of History and The Last Man. And I think that's a more literal title than most people are comfortable admitting. Especially if we look at what he writes in Our Post-Human Future, Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution. Anyway, continuing with the excerpt from the first global revolution. The need for enemies seem to be a common historical factor. States have striven to overcome domestic failure and internal contradictions by designating external enemies. The scapegoat practice is as old as mankind itself. When things become too difficult at home, divert attention by adventure abroad. Bring the divided nation together to face an outside enemy, either a real one or else one invented for that purpose. With the disappearance of the traditional enemy, the temptation is to designate as scapegoat religious or ethnic minorities whose differences are disturbing. Skipping ahead, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. So that's slightly paraphrased, but that is from The First Global Revolution by Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider, published by the Club of Rome. You could still download it or purchase it from the Club of Rome directly, actually. Last time I checked, anyway, I didn't check today, but recently I checked and it's still available there. So that, a clip, and then to the phones. The clip, watch John Kerry's face when his climate hypocrisy is exposed on camera. Go ahead, please.
Here, let's go back to Davos and the fine work once again of Ezra Levant and the team over at Rebel News, who are just doing absolute bang-up job over there. Here they are questioning John Kerry. And you remember John Kerry, is he considered our climate czar? Is that his title? I think the man is our climate czar, which is complete Orwellian drivel. This is a guy who flies private all over the place. As I said on the show a few days ago, he married Teresa Hines, so he married into big ketchup money, okay? He's very, very rich. There is no doubt he has several gas stoves, and he has his private chefs, and he has his private planes and multiple houses, and he also looks like a tree from Lord of the Rings. What's the name of the tree again? Enitz? Ents. He looks like Enitz. Is Ents all the trees, or is there a specific tree named Ents? Ent is the type of tree. Okay, good to know. He looks like an Ent from Lord of the Rings, half man, half tree. Here's John Kerry being questioned by the good guys over at Rebel.
Secretary Kerry, do you think that the high price of natural gas is actually a helpful thing to get people to transition to a green economy?
I'd love to talk about it, but I just can't do it on the run.
Can you justify being here when you yourself take private jets? Can you answer that? But you've taken a private jet before. No, but you've taken a private jet before to collect a climate change award. You have done that.
I fly commercial exclusively.
I fly commercial exclusively. This is such a lie. They lie everything, and I am not begrudging them their private flights. They're begrudging you your modes of transportation. If you're rich and you got a plane, that's awesome. I'll say it right here. I would love to be rich enough one day so that I could have a plane and only fly private. It would be wonderful. Flying commercial is a nightmare. People are not good anymore. That's a thing. It was much, much worse under COVID. People have gotten a little bit better. But everything being equal, would you guys like to fly private or commercial? For now on, when we do Reuben Report Adventures, private. Everybody wants private, okay? What? Yeah, they're just trying to kill the environment over here. But he's a liar and a fraud, and good work by Rebel, of course.
There you go. I like the last bit. That's really why I wanted to play that. Dave Rubin commenting, you know, it's great. So you can fly private. Wonderful. It's the imposing the nonsense on the rest of us that's the problem. So belief is a big deal. I talked about that through the holiday season. What will we believe? And in turn, how will we respond? To the phones, Larkin, Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, good morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
But my goodness, in a post-truth world, whatever is a lie anymore.
Exactly.
And I have to say that, harkening back to the beginning of your narration today, I was thinking, and it might be something that your audience might be interested in as well. But, you know, there are, and you could pull out your concordances for this, there are several definitions for this word love in the Bible. You know, it comes from the Greek, from the Aramaic, Hebrew, etc. And you could look this up. It doesn't just mean love like we know that word in English, because it has many definitions, or at least several. However, the Greeks had a definition for love that most people don't think of when they think of love, and that word is mania. Mania, like maniacs. And then finally, I'll leave you with this. The day before yesterday was my sister's birthday. She would have been 66 years old. So that's almost 20 years since the doctors, the white coats, murdered her, like they had murdered my mother and my father just before that. You know, they murdered my younger brother just before I became a host on RBN in 2011. Accidentally, I think. But I titled the post on my Facebook page, and I put a picture of my sister when she graduated from high school, and I titled it The Killing Field. And that's another thing your audience can look up. The Killing Field. What is a killing field? I had told my sister about that years ago. I described to her what a killing field was. And perhaps you or your audience might remember even a movie, a Hollywood movie called The Killing Fields. But this definition of a killing field goes to military strategy, and it goes back to at least medieval times. And that's what we live in today.
Well, you know, it's, I think, fascinating. If I could maybe speak to that for a minute, you know, you can go back to World War II in, what's his name? Oliver Stone's Untold History, I think is what it's called. For example, he shows footage of some of the methods that have been used historically, you know, like hanging people from the lampposts all the way in and out of town to send a message. And we don't see that today like we have historically. Instead, we see the psychological stuff more, you know, that I would call that, I mean, that's psychological, obviously, but that's more of a physical kind of literal representation of it. And now, you know, this, what you're talking about gets to right to the heart of why I was saying, what will we believe and how will we respond in turn?
It's interesting you bring up Oliver Stone, because he was a communist just like Howard Zinn. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm sticking to the, you know, and to mention Oliver Stone's Untold History is not an endorsement of Oliver Stone. It's speaking to what you're talking about. But when it comes to the communists, I'm going to stand by my remark that's sort of cheeky. You know, the communists and the socialists are just misguided Christians. They worship the wrong God. Instead of the God of Karl Marx, you know, go back to Acts chapter 2 and realize that it's not the state coercing anyone. It's the Holy Spirit that is impressing it upon the people's hearts.
Unfortunately, some of these misguided Christians get a lot more airtime in the media. They have a lot more influence than people like you and me. And they impose their will on others, therefore.
It would certainly seem, and, yeah.
And, you know, as an American, I object.
It's Thanks, interesting. Chris. I wonder what would happen if we all chose, you know, independent of the propaganda and the hypnotic, you know, siren song.
Well, independence is what's being bred out of us. That much is clear. And I think that's a tragedy.
Yep, I agree.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated, as always. Maybe this week I will speak to the esoteric stuff. I think so. You know, maybe some Bill Cooper stuff. But also, you know, again, this ESG stuff. It's not just the social engineering. It's not just, you know, cowing people, the social credit score and all of that kind of stuff. Again, I think the big story, the thing that concerns me as much as anything, is the transfer of wealth. And it's just, you know, if you are BlackRock, it's from the left hand to the right hand, so to speak, or vice versa, I would say, perhaps, you know, and speaking of the esoteric, you'll notice in all of those pictures, the hand that is hidden, you know, you think, oh, the hidden hand is the one that's making things happen. No, the one that's hidden is the right hand. The left hand is exposed. So, you know, it's just something to think about. We hear that, you know, this is a leftist agenda, lefty, lefty, all that kind of stuff. What does it mean that the left hand is exposed? And, you know, along with all of this, maybe at some point I should come back to the Bolshevik influence. What happens when the Bolsheviks are allowed to run wild? Speaking of mania and, you know, a religious fanaticism. It's not good. That's what. Doesn't bode well. So, you know, interesting. Pike's letter to Mazzini, the most prophetic letter never written. Unleashing the nihilists and the atheists. Are we seeing it in America? It seems so to me. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side. I have inside me blood of kings. I have no rival. No man can be my equal. Send me to the future of you all. In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com.
You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.